This is WSHU's After All Things, with daily news and culture from around Long Island Sound. Governor Lamont says Connecticut's voting systems are safe amid claims of foreign interference. The LIRR station in Yaphank is now operational. AGs from our region are leading the case against a Warner Brothers Paramount merger. Plus, we have the latest from WSHU's Good at Heart. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. Governor Ned Lamont is assuring Connecticut voters that the state's election systems are safe in response to President Trump's claims of foreign election interference. WSHU's Ebong Udama has more.
Lamont says Trump did not present any evidence when he used his primetime address last week to try to convince voters that American elections can't be trusted. He says elections in Connecticut are secure.
You can vote with safety, you can vote with anonymity, and you can vote with integrity.
He says that's because every vote is backed by a paper ballot.
I like the fact that it's paper ballots. I love the fact that they're your neighbors, your registrars keeping an eye on this thing.
Secretary of the State Stephanie Thomas says the state's elections are even more secure because they're run by trained local officials.
They aren't run by some faceless bureaucrats in Washington. They're run in every single Connecticut town by registrars, town clerks, moderators, poll workers, people from both parties.
She says the results are also checked through post-election audits. In the meantime, the state has spent $25 million to purchase new voter tabulators statewide. That's the first major voting equipment upgrade in 20 years. Ebong Udama, WSHU News.
The new LIRR station at Yaphank is now operational. WSHU's Desiree DiOrio reports there may be more changes coming to stations across Suffolk County.
The $20 million Yaphank Brookhaven National Laboratory Station is only the second brand new LIRR station to open in 50 years. Officials say there's more changes coming. MTA Chairman Jan O'Lieber says a study is underway now to determine whether the agency can add a second track between Ronkonkoma and Riverhead. And the MTA is exploring how to electrify more routes. Right now, electric tracks go only as far east as Ronkonkoma. Lieber says electric trains are faster and more reliable. Desiree DiOrio, WSHU News.
A federal judge has temporarily halted the merger of Warner Brothers and Paramount. WSHU's Janice Roman reports the attorneys general of New York and Connecticut were among those leading the case.
Connecticut Attorney General William Tong and New York Attorney General Letitia James are part of a coalition that sued, calling the merger, quote, unlawful. The proposed $110 billion merger would combine two major film distributors. The lawsuit claims that could lessen competition and create a monopoly. Tong says it would violate Section 7 of the Clayton Act, making the merger illegal. The attorneys general say the merger would hurt film distribution and licensing cable TV channels. They say it would result in higher prices, lower content quality, and fewer movies and TV shows. Janice Roman, WSHU News.
When cancer touched the lives of two Connecticut high schoolers, they got creative. That's the latest on WSHU's Good at Heart, and that's coming up.
It's been a year since federal support for public radio was cut. In that time, thousands of you have shown what happens when a community comes together around something it values. The next chapter for WSHU is still being written, and listeners will help shape what comes next. On Thursday, we're holding a special one-day fund drive to keep WSHU strong for the year ahead. If you've been waiting for the right time to give, this is it. Your gift right now will be doubled when you give at WSHU.org.
New York Governor Kathy Hochul says the World Cup has generated almost $250 million in state and local tax revenue. On Long Island, hotel revenue alone was $117 million. That's 24% higher than last year. Connecticut has added nearly 10,000 jobs in 2026 so far, according to new stats from the State Department of Labor. That sets an all-time record for payroll. The state labor commissioner says Connecticut's economy is stable, with job growth outpacing the nation as a whole. The New York State Attorney General is investigating the November 2025 election in the town of Huntington. Some local Democrats say Republicans and conservatives improperly ran their own candidate on the Working Families Party ballot line, swinging the election to the incumbent Republican. The supervisor race there was one of the closest on Long Island. A legal defense fund tapped by New York AG Letitia James is redirecting some donations. The New York Public News Network's Jimmy Vielkind reports the move comes after experts said the arrangement is an ethical quagmire.
James has received more than $700,000 toward her legal defense from the Democratic Attorneys General Association. The group says it's redirecting some of that money after Gothamist identified several donors. The state's Commission on Ethics and Lobbying in Government approved the arrangement in December because it believed donors to the defense fund would remain anonymous, but donors to the group are disclosed. Columbia Law School professor Richard Berfault says it raises possible conflicts.
They can just give it and with winks and nods and know where it's going. So it just seems a little naive, to be honest.
The Ethics Commission says it stands by its approval. In Albany, I'm Jimmy Vielkind for the New York Public News Network.
When cancer touched the lives of two Connecticut high school students, they got creative. Teddy Aaron and Bryn for Lizzie built an app that helped patients and caregivers manage cancer treatments and recovery. It's called Soothe Note. WSHU's Good at Heart host Randy Kay spoke with Teddy about the app and how it helps.
All right. The first question is, who do you help and how?
So originally, I tried to make this app in 2025. Because a loved one of mine is sick, unfortunately, and they're in my household. So I see cancer every day, and I know what it looks like and how hard it is on people, and as well as in the family. So I wanted to make an app to support both the patients and the caregivers. And we help people trying to improve their communication in between appointments, which ultimately would make them live longer.
The second question is, why you, and why does this matter to you? Can you share more about your loved one's illness and how this began to turn into an app?
Yeah, I would love to answer this question, but at the same time, I want to protect their privacy, so I'm not going to give more than pronouns. When I was 8 years old, my loved one was diagnosed with cancer. She's seen it. I've seen it for almost 9, 10 years, and it's been a big part of my life. And when I was trying to figure out a tool to use to help my loved one, there's no tools. There's nothing out there.
Really?
And I have a background with building apps originally, and I made my own AI. I started my own AI company. So I was like, who's better to make it than me? So I made the app myself. And it really serves the purpose to help you in between your appointments, track your medications and symptoms so you don't miss anything. By the time you're ready to go to the doctor's office, you'll have like a clear summary of up to 60 days of everything you've put in the app. So it really eliminates the time where you're like, okay, 15 minutes ago, what's happened in the last 60 days? Like, have you had symptoms? What are your symptoms? You're obviously not going to remember everything. So this really helps you improve the communication with the doctor.
That's so, is this specific to cancer or is it any illness?
Because of Brandon and myself story, we originally started off for cancer patients, but soon we're broadening the horizons and bringing it to all forms of chronic illnesses.
Wow. All right. So tell us a bit about Bryn, because Bryn did this app with you and is a cancer survivor.
Yeah.
Okay.
So she's a senior in high school now, and thankfully she's in remission, and she's a two-time cancer survivor. So her freshman year, she was diagnosed with stage 3 ovarian germ cell cancer, which is a very rare form of cancer, and it's rare in children as well. And she ended up beating it, and then it came back sadly in her junior year, and now she's in remission. So having Bryn on the team is really like important, because she tells me to slow down and like remove some stuff because she says this is way too complicated. Bryn's support and her ideas have been like extremely meaningful in this process.
Now, is this free for people to use? Do they pay for it? How does that work?
Cancer's chaos, and the last thing we want to do is put a paywall on something that could help so many people. So it's free to use. It's on the App Store right now, and we're in the process of getting it reviewed on the Google Play Store.
Do you know how many people are using it right now?
Around 519.
Around 519. It's a very
Yeah.
specific around. That is fantastic. And have you gotten any feedback from users about how this helps them?
So we're working on setting up some pilot programs with different hospitals to improve how many people are downloading the app, as well as get some good feedback on how to change the app itself. So we haven't been really setting up feedback forms inside the app, but we're on track to gain a lot of feedback in these programs this fall.
Now, you mentioned caregivers as well. So, can caregivers add information into the app?
One in three caregivers actually experienced burnout within the first year of taking care of a patient. So we wanted to find a fit to serve both the patients and the caregivers. So the patient can provide a caregiver a six-digit code. It's encrypted, it's fully safe, and it's a once-use code. So once they link, it's over. The code can't be used anymore. The caregiver will enter it on their screen, and immediately you get all of the information the patient puts in throughout the day will appear on the caregiver side. And then the caregiver can see how the patient's doing without hovering over them, like not going up, "Are you okay? Are you okay? How are you feeling? How are you feeling?" They can just look in the app and just have maybe a more normal conversation. And we also have added ways to like send messages to the patient from the caregiver side, like, "We're thinking of you," etc. So the patient can see on their hard days that their loved ones are there for them without having them hovering. And then we also have notes. So if you have more than one caregiver in your family, you can leave a note for example, like, "If my brothers are taking care of my loved one," I could leave them a note like, "Okay, I just administered drugs," etc. And they could be like, "Okay, we know not to go that way when we go in."
Can I ask you, like, what is it that inspires you?
Just the what inspires me is just the idea that I'm helping so many people, and that like I can change someone's life where pain has been in mine. And instead of completely like being upset and like, "Why does it have to be me? Like, it's so unfair," I can put my energy into something that's positive and that is helping others. And a role model of mine is my dad, because he tells me never to give up, and he's always been by my side my whole life. His advice and like just the way he is and how honest he is really like important to me.
Wonderful. All right, that brings me to my final question. Why do you think we're here on Earth, Teddy Aaron?
Why do you think we're here on Earth? I think we're here on Earth to make meaning within like unfortunate events or like do good for others. It's why I think that we were here, and that like the moment you leave your own worries and focus on others and helping others is the moment you feel free.
Oh, that's beautiful. I'm going to add another impromptu question here because you're entering your senior year. What are your plans for your life?
Well, I hope to continue to expand Suvno, but as like a side gig, obviously. But I want to continue to be an entrepreneur and just keep doing what I'm doing and make a path for myself that no one's ridden yet, and just like learn from others who are brilliant.
Check out the full conversation at WSHU.org. Good at Heart is sponsored in part by ProHealth Physicians. For the latest news from around Long Island Sound, listen to us on the radio, online with our free app, and of course, tune in right here to the After All Things podcast every weekday evening. And if you're looking for a way to support the local journalism we're doing here, check out our brand new merch shop over at WSHU.org. All purchases go right back to supporting this station. We have t-shirts, hats, tank tops, mugs, and so much more. Again, that's over at WSHU.org. You'll see shop at the top of the page. Just click on that. I'm Sabrina Garone. Thank you for being with me today. Have a great rest of your evening, and we'll speak tomorrow.